You know, today's topic is, we're going to talk about why do you have an expanded Psukei Dezimra on Shabbos and Yom Tov? You know, we don't just say the regular six psalms, Kapitlach, Psalms 145 to 150, but there's a whole expanded version. And then the Bruch of Yishtabach is not just that paragraph, but it starts with Nishmas. In fact, the Minhag of Ashkenaz is that you stand, just like we'd stand for Yishtabach, you stand up from Nishmas and you stand up through the end of the Bracha. Why the expanded Psukei Dezimra and the expanded Bracha? That's going to be our topic today, okay? The Psukei Dezimra of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the answer to that question is obvious. What's the answer? The answer is on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's a day where we don't go to work. We're not engaged, so to speak, in the physical world. We're engaged in the world of the intellect. We're engaged in the spiritual world. And therefore, we have a chance to expand. We have the chance to elaborate. We have the chance to delve into these issues. Okay? That being the case, we do delve. We do expand. We expand in our tefillah, we expand in our learning. Just like, for instance, the Kriyas HaTorah is not just your regular three aliyahs, it's seven, or on a Yom Tov it's five, right? Because five is more than the four of Chol HaMoed, which is more than the three of a weekday. So too, we have that expansion in tefillah, expansion in Talmud Torah, expansion in tefillah. I'm going to talk about a few of the Kapitlach Tehillim that I think are very important. Now, we could really spend a number of sessions on this. We're not. We're only going to discuss a couple. One that I wanted to discuss is 34, Kapitel Lamed Dalet. It's again, it's an acrostic from A to Z, from Aleph to Tav. What was the case? David HaMelech had been in the midst of trying to avoid a civil war, doing everything in his power to avoid a civil war between himself and Shaul HaMelech. So it comes to a point where King Saul's army and his soldiers are chasing David, that the only thing he can do is go to the archenemy, cross the border and go into the land of the Pelishtim. Now, that seems like a suicide mission. So he's avoiding Jewish death, that one group of Jews shouldn't kill another group of Jews, but he's ultimately sacrificing his own life by going to a place where, you know, every post office under the most wanted man by all Plishtim is David. Why is David the one who's most wanted? Because he's the one who killed Goliath. He's the one who killed Goliath. So what does he do? He knows it's just a matter of time till he's caught. You know, he looks different than the Plishtim, whether it's pigmentation, everybody knows him because of his red hair, his red beard. What does he do? He does a Jack Nicholson. One flew over the cuckoo's nest. What does he do? He feigns being a crazy man. He feigns being somebody who's absolutely disturbed. So they bring this disturbed crazy man to the Avimelech. Avimelech is a term for the king or the leader of the Pelishtim. And he looks at this guy. He says, I don't have enough idiots. I don't have enough crazy men in my sane asylums. What? Now I understand why he took on Goliath. Now I understand why he killed Goliath. Because anybody who's functioning rationally or logically would never take on a man like Goliath. It's only a crazy man that would do such a thing, and he got lucky. I need him around. Look at him. You know, he's get him out of here. So what happened? What David does is, after the Pelishtim no longer view him as a threat, no longer view him as someone, you know what I mean, who's an archenemy, but they think he's a crazy man. What do? They let him go, and he expresses his gratitude to God, expresses his gratitude to the Almighty that God has saved his life through what? Giving him a very creative, ingenious way of trying to save himself. Now, just to take a couple look at a couple of the psukim. Dorashti es Hashem ve'anani. I sought, you know, David was always a seeker. He sought out God and God responded. Okay? Chone malach Hashem saviv l'reyev. God envelops, he sends his angels to envelop or surround those who have offer him. And those angels save him. What are those angels? According to the Rambam, it's talking about the various mitzvot, the various commandments that we have that give us the right perspective, that channel us into the right perspective, whether it's a mezuzah when we enter the room, whether it's tefillin that we envelop ourselves in, whether it's a tzitzis that's a reminder, you know, the turquoise of the tzitzis that reminds us. Other mitzvot, whether it's through learning, whether it's through having, you know, hidavek, you know, vidavachta, to be cling to talmidei chachamim, who will be role models to us, whether it's certain mitzvot that we have in terms of how we do business, so that ultimately we won't cheat, we won't lie, we won't be manipulative. All you have this whole structure, this whole halachic structure. Those are the malach, the angels of God, that He envelops us with, according to the Rambam. And He thanks God for that. Yiras Hashem Kedosha, those who are unique and distinct, have a sense of awe and reverence for God. Ki ein machsor, because such a person who has that sense of awe and reverence will not be lacking, right? Ultimately, when they look at what their needs are to function, they will not be lacking. He goes into something that's very powerful here. Mi ha'ish ha'chavetz chayim, who is the person that yearns for, that desires life? Oiv yamim leros tov, who wants to live a long life to see good? Who is that person? Netzor Lashon Chameira, the person that guards his tongue. A person should guard his tongue from evil. Usfasecha Midaber Mirma, and lips from speaking deceit and subtleties and manipulation. Because David, what brought all this upon David? It was the act of Doeg HaAdomi. The fact that there was someone who was jealous of David, and what does he do? He plays. Saul, unfortunately, emotionally was not so stable. He was frail, and he was manipulated. King Saul was manipulated by Doeg, and he convinces Saul that David is a threat, that he's a mortal enemy. Even though David has proved himself, his loyalty, he's proved his honesty, his integrity, time and time again. But Saul was manipulated, and Saul was in a very vulnerable state. That is the power of the tongue. The tongue is much more powerful than the sword. You know, they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's not so. Names are much more damaging than sticks and stones. And David reflects that. And he looks at the loss of life, Novir HaKohanim, how it was wiped out as a function of this manipulation, this subtlety of the tongue. Netzor Lashon Chameira Usfasecha Midaber Mirma. Sur Meira Vaseitov, first and foremost, you remove from evil. You have a lot of people, they'll do good things. They're charitable, they're kind, they're nice. But when it comes to certain activities, they'll swindle, they'll cheat, they'll steal. So it's you first and foremost, Sur Meira, remove yourself from bad, remove yourself from the wrong, from that which is evil and corrupt. A person has to have that discipline. First and foremost, a religious personality has to be a disciplined personality. Not someone who's a prisoner of their instincts, not someone who's a prisoner of their emotions and their drives. And then, once that's been the case, then aseh tov, then one can do good. Bakhe shalom v'ra'vehu, ki is peace. You know, if I'm threatened by you, or I'm jealous of you, you know, so I'm going to find a way to hurt you, I'm going to be antagonistic to your face, behind your back, I'm going to cause you trouble. No. Pursue peace. Bakesha, not only seek out peace, radfeyo. There's certain things in life you have to be a pursuer, you have to run after. One of them is peace. You know, and you see that, because most of the evils that exist in this world are things that we bring upon ourselves. It's true occasionally there's going to be a tsunami. It's true that there are going to be hurricanes, okay? And that's true, and we have to acknowledge that. But most of the evil, most death, destruction, most devastation, most hurt, most pain, the large, large majority of that is brought upon ourselves by ourselves, what one person does to another, what we do one to another. That's Bakhe Shalom V'Radfeyo. So that's what David is saying. Einei Hashem al tzadikim vaznav el shavasam. God is, what does it mean? His eyes are towards the righteous, meaning that's providence. Those people who are worthy of specific providence because they're so perfected and so righteous, they're worthy of specific providence. In vaznav, and God hears their prayers. God listens to their prayers. Penei Hashem ba'osei ra. And what? God's face, meaning his attention, is against those who engage in evil activities. Ultimately, to do what? They may survive. They may be successful for a short period of time, but ultimately they'll be severed. Their memory, their legacy, ultimately will be annihilated and severed from the earth. Tzaku v'ad Hashem shamea. Call out. A person has to, when they have pain, they have issues, they got to relate to God, and God hears. Mikol tzarosam hitzilam. In the end, He provides salvation. Sometimes it's concrete. Sometimes it's just the fact that a person deals with it and deals with it in a healthy way through the modality of tefillah, through the ideas of tefillah. That in itself provides a certain perspective, a certain sense of comfort and consolation. It also provides a perspective going forward. This, Tamoses Rasha Ra'a Vitzone Tzadik Yeshamu. The death of the wicked person, it'll be a harsh death, an evil death. And those who despise, who hate the righteous, what does it mean, those who hate the righteous? Because they're ultimately jealous of what the righteous represents. Yeshamu. Ultimately, they will be condemned. What's the point? David HaMelech has been taken from a man who should have been respected, revered, sought after, learned from. He was turned into public enemy number one. He was turned into a fugitive. And it's painful, and it's hurtful, and it's terrible, and it's horrific that all the good deeds that he did were paid back by other human beings in a horrific way. He gives himself perspective. Ultimately, he gives himself perspective. And the same God who saved him from Avimelech and the Pelishtim is the same God ultimately who looks after him, who shepherds him, who nurtures him as after the demise of Shaul and after the demise of all those who pursue him, when he becomes the leader, not only of the Jewish people, but the leader of humanity, ultimately it's that God that guides him, that gave him the courage, that gave him the fortitude to withstand the challenges, to withstand what he went through and how he suffered. So that what? When he becomes the leader, he leads the people like a true leader, like a true shepherd. He leads the people with a sense of tolerance, with a sense of justice, with a sense of nurturing, with a sense of education. And this is reflective of what David is going through. Remember one thing about Tehillim, and this is a crucial, crucial principle throughout Psalms. How does one deal, how does one engage certain emotional states? A time of sadness or depression, a time of fear or trepidation, a time of gratitude, a time of optimism, time of confidence. How does one take that emotion and sublimate it and channel it so that it's not a disjunctive, corruptive emotion, but that it's a healthy, positive emotion? He takes it through the ideas of wisdom, the ideas of chachma, the ideas of the Torah, and he sublimates it and channels it. And that experience of relating to God and sublimating those emotions is articulated in the words of the Psalms. And that's a general principle. I'm going to deal with a couple of others. The idea of Ki La'olam Chasdo, which everyone's familiar with from the Haggadah. What's Ki La'olam Chasdo? That for each and every stage, whether it's through providence, you know, through certain things God did for the Jewish people at this stage of their formative years, making them into a nation, or whether it's through the general providence, you know, through the cosmos and through the laws of physics and chemistry and biology and through the weather and through general providence, not historical specific providence. What do you see? We express gratitude. In other words, ki la'olam chasdo. It's similar to the idea of Dayenu. In each and every stage, we don't look at it, you know, well, it's just one step and I'll thank God when it's all over and done and when I get the prize at the end. No. Every stage has a benefit, every stage has a value, and we express our gratitude in each and every stage. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Why is the Psalm of the Sabbath? It's what? Look at it, Psalm 92. Doesn't mention one word about not doing malacha, not one word about Kiddush, not one word about Avdalah, not one word about Onik Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos. All the principles, all the unique categories that shape and define Shabbos are not mentioned. What's discussed in Psalm 92? Psalm 92 is Tzidduk HaDin. It's what? It's a justification of God's ways. What does that have to do with Shabbos? Let's define, what do we mean it's Tzidduk HaDin? It's a justification of the decision. So it describes here that you have Bifroach Rishaim Kamo Esav. You have the wicked exploding. You know, imagine like how weeds, you know, they just take off like wildfire. Or if you don't want to even talk about weeds, talk about Asaph, you know, a bed of grass, you know, in a small little area, you know, of 10 square feet, you could have tens of thousands of blades of grass. In a small little area, you could have millions of blades of grass. And yet all you get is one date palm, Tzadik Katamar Yifrach. You get one cedar of Lebanon, Ke'erez Balvanon Yizgeh. Think of that contrast, one versus thousands, one versus millions. What's the idea? You get dismayed sometimes. Quantitatively, when we look at the world, we really get dismayed. But qualitatively, that cedar, that Erez Balvanon Yizgeh, that date palm, Tzadik Katamar Yifrach, one thing we know. When the rough winter, you know, when the winter comes and all the weeds die off, or when the winter comes and all the green fades away, that tree still grows. That tree is still rooted. That tree is becoming thicker and taller each and every year. And that is life sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you look around, you know, the United Nations, and you see the Iranians and what they get away with, and the Syrians and what they get away with. You got the Sunnis and the Shias who are engaged, you know, in a war and destruction to kill and punish and pulverize anything that's not like them. You see what's going on in North Korea. And you say to yourself, you know, what kind of a world is this? That's Bifroach Rishaim Kamo Esav. But sometimes, you know, when it comes to a moral vote in the UN, you have once in a while, you have a Micronesia, and they don't give in to political pressure. You have a Canada, who's viewed as a pariah by the rest of the Western world because they don't give in. Every so often, there's that tzaddik. But in the end, who survives? Who lasts? Who has impact? You know, who ultimately shapes history? In the end, it's that one unique individual. We were never fans of numbers, you know, we didn't count heads. But it's difficult. It's difficult sometimes when the whole world is against you. It's difficult. And what is Shabbos? Shabbos is a day when you step back and you acknowledge that. You acknowledge that God's sense of history and God's calculation and His FASB rules are different than our FASB rules. And His sense of history is different than our sense of history. And His cheshbonot, ki lo machshvosai machshvoseichem, as Yeshaya, as Isaiah says, right? My thoughts are not your thoughts, meaning God's calculations are not ours. We acknowledge that. And we gain perspective. We have a broader perspective on Shabbos. You know, they say the Neshama Yisera, the Rash Barashi. What's Neshama Yisera? Doesn't mean that you get an extra soul. There's an exorcism come Avdallah. They yank out the extra soul. No, it's an idea. Neshama Yisera means you have a sense of breadth. Harchavas Hadas. You have a broader perspective on the world. You don't have the Kotzer Ruach. The Kotzer Ruach, which is so frustrating, so vexing, where you just lose all hope. And no, you have a broader, broader perspective on the world. That's what Shabbos is about. When was this psalm said? Not something that King David wrote. We know David HaMelech was the editor of Tehillim. Much of the work of Tehillim were written by others, whether it was Moshe, whether it was the B'nai Korach, whether it was others. David edited it, and he put it together as one work. And Psalm 92, we have a tradition, is what Adam HaRishon, what Adam and Eve wrote, what they articulated after being expelled from the Garden of Eden. They had that perspective. They acknowledged what they did was wrong. They acknowledged that there were consequences to what they did. And they acknowledged that from now on the world would have, unfortunately, would have evil in it, perpetrated and created by man. But they had the right perspective on that. They put it into context. That is what they did. And when was the second time, the time that was probably the most famous example of when this psalm was said? In Egypt. The prince of Egypt, this young prince of Egypt who is a stepson of the pharaoh. It says, Vayar besivlosam. This prince of Egypt sees the burdens of the Jews. And what does he do? He leaves the warmth and comfort of the royal palace and he goes out, goes to empathize, to sympathize with the Jews. He does something. He comes, he knows if he's going to plead the case of the Jews, he's through. Because the Pharaoh will know, once a Jew, always a Jew. It doesn't matter that he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. It doesn't matter that he's an adopted stepson of the royal palace. No, can't do that. So he comes up with an economic motivation. He says, look, if you're gonna work these people 7 days a week, 4 weeks a month, you know, 52 weeks a year, you just be diminishing results. Your production will be worthless from these people. However, if you do something a little bit different, what is that? Why don't you instead give them off 1 day a week? Let's pick this day. Give them off 1 day a week. They can recharge their batteries, they can get rested, and you know what? They'll produce a lot more in 6 days than they would ever have produced in 7 days. Their production in 6 days will be double or triple what they would have produced in 7 days if they never had gotten a day off. And the Pharaoh buys it. Strictly from an economic, it's an economic argument that Moshe is making. Moshe, the prince of Egypt. And what did they do on those days? Shevet Levi, Moshe's own family members, that tribe of Levi, they would educate them, they would teach them, and they would teach them how to say this psalm. Even if the slavery doesn't end this week, even if the slavery doesn't end tomorrow or the next day or the next month or the next year, God has a longer sense of history. And there will come a time where justice will be done. There'll come a time where ultimately these wretched, illiterate slaves will emerge into what? They'll emerge into the people of the book. They'll emerge into the people that are a light into the nations. And to give them that hope, and to teach them not to lose perspective, and al titya'esh, don't give up, don't despair. That lesson is what was articulated so well in Psalm 92. They took that psalm and that's what they sang. They sang it on that day off that they had from the Egyptians. It enabled them to survive the long dark night of the Egyptian exile, the long dark night of the Egyptian oppression and tyranny. It enabled them to survive it. And what do we have the custom? Three times on Shabbos, three is a unit. It's the defining theme of the Shabbos. No, we're not enslaved. No, we're not oppressed. But we live in a rough world. We live in a world which is a bigoted world. We live in a world which is a cynical world. We live in a world that is a corrupt world. When you look at what comes out of the UN and how they take that tiny little sliver of land and those people who have given refuge and given respite to the weary, to the oppressed of all peoples, and they turn them into a pariah, we're so frustrated. The answer is, yeah, we understand your frustration. But come Shabbos, you gain perspective. Come Shabbos, you take a step back. And you look at it from a broader perspective. Harchavas hadas, neshama yaseira, you have a broader perspective. And we know that ultimately, we don't understand God's system. We don't understand his accounting system. But ultimately, he has a plan. There is a system. We have to acknowledge that there's a system. And that because we're frail and limited and our time on this earth is so short, our sojourn is so limited, we have to realize that. We have to realize that and understand that. That is the idea behind what? That's the idea behind Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. It gives us the breath. It gives us the perspective. It is the defining nature of Shabbos. Malacha? We don't engage in malacha? That facilitates that what? That on Shabbos we can engage in intellectually creative, spiritually creative activities. Even though they're not physically creative, they're spiritually and intellectually creative. It's a day of Talmud Torah, a day of additional tefillah. What's the Kavod and Oneg? It all sets the backdrop. It's a unique day. I can think broader. The goal of not doing malacha, the goal of having Oneg, is to understand what the objective of the Sabbath is. What's the objective of Shabbos? To give us a broader perspective so we can become broader, deeper people, and that we can have a better sense of dealing with a world that is a confusing, that is a contradictory, that is sometimes what we perceive as an unfair world. That's the theme of Psalm 92. Those are two examples. And again, we could go into each and every one of the psalms that we say. We're going to leave that for now. We're just going to go to Nishmas. Nishmas, again, is the expanded version of Yishtabach. That after we've tried to understand God, to relate to God, to encapsulate God, we acknowledge we can't do that. Is mere limited, frail human beings, that's not something we can accomplish. However, we've tried because we have a need to. We have a desire, a yearning for that relationship. And in the end, we say, Yishtabach, Tiskadash, Tiskadal, Only God can extol himself, Tisramam. Only God can praise himself. It's not something we're capable of. We acknowledge that. And what's the expanded notion of that acknowledge? Ilufinu male shira kayam. If our mouths were filled with praise as the sea, and if our legs were as swift as this, and our arms were this, and if our mouth would do that, and our lips could do that, there's no way that we could even reflect even a small, minute fraction of what ultimately we would need to convey the truth. We can't. We're incapable of it. We acknowledge that. That is articulated in Nishmas. We tried, because we have the need. We have the need for the relationship, and we tried. But we acknowledge that no matter what we've done, we should never ever think we get it. We have him in a box. No, that's not the case. And we also acknowledge, with a profound sense of gratitude, the need that we have to express that gratitude. Because after all, what does God do? He's Ma'or Yishenim. He arouses those who are asleep. And that's literally and that's figuratively. Meikitz Nirdamim. Meisiach Ilmim. Those who are mute, he enables them to speak. Again, literally and figuratively. Matir Asurim. Those who are incarcerated, he emancipates them. Somech Nofim. Those who fall, he supports. Etc. So we said, Ein anachnu maspikim lo dos lecha. We're incapable of acknowledging and showing our gratitude. We are. Even a minute fraction. And then what do? We mention some of the actions of God. Mi mitzrayim galtanu. Mi beis avadim pidisanu. Berav zantanu. Vusava kilkaltanu. All the different actions of God. Ultimately, it should be kol atzmosai. My very body, my very being, my very essence communicates that. Miyidvelach, miyishvelach. We can't. We cannot associate you even with it. Not only can we not encapsulate you, we can't even associate you with anything. We try. We tried our best. But in the end, only you can do it. Only you can do it. Yishtabach shimcha lad malkeinu. Your own name is praised by yourself. Ki lachona Hashem Elokeinu. It's true that it's fitting for us to give shevach to you. Halal v'zimra uzumem shal, etc. But what? Ultimately, only Hashem can do it. And that is the idea. The idea that we started with way back in Psuke de Zirma during the week, how with the confidence in Baruch Sha'amar, Nfa'erchacha, Nahalelchacha, Unshabechacha, we're going to do it. It ends up with Yishtabach. So too, that's what happens. That's what happens on Shabbos. But on Shabbos, you don't just figure it out from the change in tense or change in grammar. It's actually spelled out. Because we have more time to elaborate, it's spelled out throughout Nishmas. I want to thank you. And this is some of the themes and some of the points of the fact that on Shabbos or Yom Tov, we have more time. We have an expanded time frame. We have an expanded perspective. And we also have a targeted focus of extra tefillah and extra Talmud Torah. And therefore, we utilize that opportunity. We engage in that through the two examples of Tzadi Beis and Lama Dalet, but through the many more examples that exist in Psukei de Zimra. Thank you.